It's 2:05 on Talk Radio 790 KABC. It's the John Phillips Show on this very, very Chilly Willy Tuesday.
Chilly Willy.
It's Randy Wang here. John's on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. And I'm broadcasting live in exile from the Morongo Casino Resort and Spa Living Room Studios, which today is in kind of pretty Culver City. I mean, it's not beautiful, but it's not as gross as it used to be. At least the street that I'm on. I don't know about some of the other parts. You go to the other side of where the expo line is, whatever they're calling it. Who knows? 800-222-KABC is the phone number. 1-800-222-5222. We've got some fantastic tickets to give away later this hour. But right now, let's talk to one of our favorites. He, of course, is the president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association and co-host of the Howard Jarvis Radio Show that you can hear Monday nights right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. John Kupal, welcome back to the John Phillips Show.
It's always a pleasure, Randy. How you doing?
Well, John, you're one of the first people I thought of when I heard this story yesterday. Last year, with a $100 billion surplus that we spent real quickly without any accountability of where it all went, one of the things that Gavin Newsom spent a bunch of money on was these gas tax rebates. I think he even called them inflation rebates, because this made more sense than cutting the gas tax at a time of historic inflation. We had the surplus. We're going to send everybody their money back. And somehow that process is taking an incredibly long time. There are people that haven't even gotten their checks yet. Yet, the state of California was super quick to send out 1099 forms to everybody to tell you, hey, that $600 you got from the state, you have to pay taxes on that.
Yeah, California does everything wrong, even when they think the intentions are good. You're absolutely right. The easiest and most efficient and effective way to return money to the taxpayers is to reduce tax rates. Therefore, and by doing that, you don't involve some big bureaucratic morass like we had with the Employment Development Department, the EDD, who, by the way, successfully lost $30 billion, not $30 million, $30 billion in fraudulent claims. Just as an aside, Randy, glad to hear that the new House of Representatives is going to be looking at what California did to lose that $30 billion. But again, they could have avoided this whole thing simply by reducing tax rates. That is the most effective, efficient way to return money to taxpayers. But, of course, doing so did not provide any of the politicians with a photo op, because that, at the end of the day, is what they really want. You know, they're sitting there like kings, you know, sprinkling out a little bit of the money, just a small portion of the money you paid, and say, aren't we great? Aren't we just wonderful people, because we're giving you back a pittance of what you've already paid to the state of California. So I think most Californians don't buy it. They think that the whole thing is a farce. There's no way to escape the fact that California has the highest income tax rate in America, the highest state sales tax rate in America, and the highest gas tax. So I don't think voters are fooled, and it is a reflection of why so many Californians are moving out of the state of California.
I mean, it really doesn't make any sense that, first off, you had the urgency, to use one of Gavin Newsom's overused words, that they said they were acting with. They announced in May that we're going to do something about this because gas prices, as Gavin Newsom said, were too damn high. 6 months later, they start sending out debit cards to people. They haven't finished sending out the debit cards. And then on top of that, even though it's supposed to be a tax rebate and an inflation assistance, whatever they're calling it, you have to pay. You have to count that as part of your income? What the hell?
Yeah, really. You know, this certainly looks like double taxation. It's like paying the California sales tax on top of the federal gas tax. When you buy a gallon of gasoline, you pay the federal excise tax, and you pay the state tax on top of the cost of gasoline, which includes the federal tax. So you. And this is not the only example of where Californians have to pay a tax on a tax. And look, let's look at what other states are doing. Other states are reducing tax burdens significantly. Arizona is on its way to completely phasing out its income tax. Of course, Texas and Nevada have no income tax, neither does Florida. And yet, you know, not to change subjects, but we have some ultra-progressive legislators now proposing a bizarre wealth tax that they just introduced this week. So, you know, California, people look at this state and they look at the way things are being managed or not managed here, and it's just a big disincentive to move here, and it's certainly a disincentive to invest any more of your money here if you're a business. So that's the sad state, and it's one of the reasons why people are moving, one of the reasons why California lost population, and one of the reasons why we lost one representative in the House of Representatives because that representative went to Texas because of the census and the way the House of Representatives is divided in terms of representation.
Well, you just mentioned it, so let's expand on it for a second. We're talking with John Kupal, president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association and co-host of the Howard Jarvis Radio Show Monday nights right here on KABC. AB 259, the wealth tax that was introduced by some assembly members, including Alex Lee up in the Bay Area. If this somehow got across Gavin Newsom's desk and he signed it, how would it work and who would it affect?
Well, first of all, let's ignore for the moment that this Senate Bill 259, which purports to tax in the first year only people who have $50 billion worth of wealth. Ignore that for the moment because it's all contingent upon the passage of Assembly Constitutional Amendment Number 3. In other words, this so-called, this little shiny object out there meant to fool people that this is just a tax on the ultra-billionaires. In order for it to pass, the proposed Assembly Constitutional Amendment Number 3 would have to pass, and that would gut Prop 13, and that would hurt everybody. It would allow the legislature to raise taxes with a simple majority vote rather than what Proposition 13 currently requires, which is a two-thirds vote of each house. So that would be gone. It would also allow the legislature to define wealth to include the unrealized capital gains in real estate, including your house. So, you know, the proponents of this, who are the ultra liberals in the California legislature, are saying, no, this is just on billionaires. Don't buy it because that's just the hook for what they ultimately want, which is unlimited constitutional authority to raise taxes. If there's any good news here, this proposal was tried last year. It never got a hearing because I think even many Democrats look at this and say this is just not ready for prime time. And my guess is I don't have any proof for this, but my guess is even Gavin Newsom thinks that the people who are pushing this are being very, very foolish.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely to pass. So it's one of those, you know, you can have a press conference, look like you're doing something, you're going after the rich when you know there's no practical way this is going to happen. And like you've said, they've tried this before at least three times that I could think of. In fact, I remember Rob Bonta, when he was still in the assembly before he got appointed to attorney general, he was going on television trying to defend this. I think he wrote the original bill for this.
Yeah, but be careful. I mean, we say this is so stupid it will never be ready for prime time, but how many times have we thought that about something that ultimately became law? So, yes, it's foolish. No, it does not look like it could pass this year, but this is the ultra-left, the socialists, testing the waters, and they will test, and they will test, and they will probe, and they'll look for an opening, and look for when the electorate is just right and try to pass something like this. So we don't take any of this stuff for granted. Yes, it looks stupid on its face, But we always have to be ready, and we at Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association are always tracking these things to see if they start gaining traction, because if it does start to gain traction, that means we will have to move very quickly.
Well, and it seems hyper-targeted at a few specific people, like maybe an Elon Musk or somebody, because one of the things that this bill would do is, even if you move out of the state of California, they say, well, you made all your money here, so we're still going to tax you on it, even if you're not a resident of California.
Yes, this is the what they call an exit tax. You will be taxed to leave the state of California. However, Rennie, there's a small problem, just a tiny problem with this, and that is it is directly contrary to the protections of the United States Constitution, and virtually every legal scholar will tell you the same thing. You cannot impede interstate commerce. You cannot impede people's right to leave, to right to move. The case law is very clear on this, and the attempt to try to tax people who have already moved out, I think, will be rejected very quickly. But that's not to mean it doesn't have an impact. The impact that it does have is the fact that it's even being floated and discussed is a reason other people in this nation are looking at California, scratching their heads and saying, "You got to be kidding me! If you're a business in the United States of America, and you're even thinking about expanding your market to sell your product in other states, you might look at California and go, it's not worth it, and I'm certainly not going to open any retail facilities here or manufacturing facilities here." It's for all the talk that the majority party does about how they want to create a California miracle, the proof is in the fact that I believe California is going to suffer through a more significant recession than the rest of the nation. We've already begun to see that with significant layoffs in high tech. So I think we're about ready to pay the piper.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
And the question is, are they going to enact rational policies to incentivize growth, or are they going to enact stupid policies that deter growth? And I think the answer to that here in California is self-evident. They're going to go with option B, which is regrettable.
Well, and it shows that, how shaky the California economy, even Gavin Newsom touting us the fourth largest in the world, can be, where one year, because of huge capital gains in the tech sector, we can have $100 billion surplus. The next year, when tech's starting to pull back because COVID's over, all of a sudden now we're minimum $22 billion in the hole, could be as high as 40, and we're just getting started.
Yeah, it's really hard to predict what the true deficit is, because it involves in the very bizarre process that is the California budget. You know, there was a lot of news about the budget being announced, but that's never the real budget. I mean, if the budget were in hard copy, it would be in Barnes and Noble under the fiction section, because nothing in it is true, because it has to go through what's called the May revision, and then that's not going to bear any resemblance to what is ultimately passed in June. And even then, because of some certain changes in law, which were horrible, there is no real budget bill now. There's all these trailer bills and amendments that occur throughout the year. So anybody who thought there was a budget bill, understand that the budget process in California makes no sense, and it's just a 365-day process where if you've got the juice, If you've got the special interests and you have the campaign contributions, you can get almost anything done. And by the way, it's all done behind closed doors. So that's, sorry to be the real downer here, but California has some really significant problems fiscally and structurally.
We're speaking with Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association's John Kupal. He's the co-host of the Howard Jarvis Radio Show with our friend Susan Shelley, Monday nights here on KABC. Now, John, before you go, we've got to talk about what the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association is doing right here in the city of Los Angeles and challenging ULA, the measure that would tax the sale of property in Los Angeles at higher levels, but still creating more and more money to spend on the homeless. You've got a problem with ULA, don't you?
We sure do. The number one problem is how it was packaged and why the voters, we think, were fooled. It was called the Mansion Tax, but what people didn't realize that it was any property over $5 million, which is just about any apartment building out there. So even if it's a small apartment building, if there is a real estate transfer tax imposed on that apartment building, yes, the owner's going to have to pay, but you know who else is going to have to pay? And that is the tenant. So when people think about ULA, and we really tried, Randy, to push this point during the campaign, but obviously there was a lot of noise out there that this was really going to turn into a tax on renters. But it passed. However, I won't get into all the legal arguments, but I'll just say that there is a provision of the city charter of the Los Angeles that says that an initiative measure, and that's how this tax came about, that an initiative measure can only do what the city council itself could do. And because there is a prohibition against real estate transfer taxes for special purposes in general law, then that means that then it could not be done by initiative. So we think we have a very, very strong case, and we look forward to a hearing. We have filed, and we expect nothing happens fast in the courts, but we hope to have some sort of resolution within the next couple of months.
Hypothetically, if this thing goes through and Karen Bass uses city funds to buy hotels and motels for her emergency homeless program, does the city of L.A. have to pay its own tax?
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably not, but I should add one more point, and that is there's another law out there, one that we proposed, and it's about ready to qualify for the 2024 ballot. It is a statewide initiative called the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act. If the voters of California enact that in 2024, there is a reachback provision that would invalidate taxes like ULA, which did not secure the constitutionally mandated two-thirds vote that's in Proposition 13. So we're qualifying this proposal to close the loopholes in Proposition 13, and if it passes in 2024, then ULA will be deemed ineffective, and it would have to go back to the voters with a two-thirds vote, which we don't think they could get. So there's a lot of things going on, Randy, but the Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association is right on the forefront.
And we're so grateful for that. John Kupal, president of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association and co-host of the Howard Jarvis Radio Show, Monday nights at KABC, and you can download it at KABC.com. John Kupal, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet, Randy. Have a great day.
Thank you. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. It's the John Phillips Show. John's out this week, so it's Randy Wang flying solo. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, 1-800-222-5222. You can always email us at johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. That's johnnydontlikeshow@gmail.com. Catherine writes in and says, "Hi, Randy. You crack me up with that song Chilly Willy. Now I can't get it out of my head. Keep up the great work." By the way, Barbara Ferrer is no hero. If you're wondering what she's talking about, well, Holly Mitchell had a press conference this morning and has inspired a new duet with Holly Mitchell and the 70s band Sweet.
Chilly Willy. Won't go home, but you can't push Willy. Willy. Won't go try telling everybody. Chili Willy.
And boy, do I have a special surprise for you. It's right. It's the second huge giveaway of the day right here on Chili Willy Tuesday.
Chili Willy.
Can you still get a Chili Willy? It's Randy Wang here. 800-222-KABC is the phone number, of course. The biggest story that you've been hearing at the top and the bottom of every single newscast here is the multiple massacres that we've seen in the state of California in just the last 48 hours. We had Monterey Park, and then after we got off the air yesterday, Half Moon Bay up in the Bay Area. It's just unthinkable. It's horrific. Yesterday, We're waiting for Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, to hold a press conference with some of the other dignitaries and talk about all what a great job they're doing with the response, because that's, of course, what you need to hear when you're dealing with such a horrific, monstrous tragedy like this. But then all of a sudden, Gavin Newsom canceled his appearance at the press conference. And there was some statement put out like he's going to spend more time with the victims and not in front of the TV cameras. And I thought that sounds pretty good. You know, that's what we should be doing here. You know, I'm glad you're down there. I'm glad you're trying to help people. But, you know, make this about the victims and the victims' families right now. And you can get on TV and whine about this later. So he didn't show up at the press conference. Hilda Solis was there. George Gascon was there. Alex Padilla was there. Luna was there. But Gavin Newsom was not. And I thought, okay, that's pretty good. He doesn't want to be seen with Hilda Solis talking about what a great response our first responders have had against this tragedy. Enough of that already. This is not the time to pat yourselves on the back. When something like this happens, there's a massive failure somewhere. But then Gavin Newsom, instead of doing the press conference, talked to every national news outlet that was there to cover the press conference in interviews that appeared on ABC News, on CBS News, and on Fox 11. So I don't really know if that's any better. But since Gavin Newsom had to do the interview, it's my job here. I've got to play it for you because Gavin Newsom wants to convey how upset and pissed off this situation makes him. So what does he do? He tries to throw as many hells and dams as he can into a response.
There's not a country in the world that doesn't experience behavioral health issues. Not unique to the United States, quite the contrary. What's unique is these large capacity magazine clips.
Which are already illegal in California.
That will take down every single one of you in a matter of seconds. These just weapons of pure mass destruction. And the fact that that is not being addressed in this country is comical. It's disgraceful. It's offensive to the senses, to common sense, to dignity. You claim to care about your kids? We were just talking, the number one killer of our kids last year was guns. What the hell's wrong with us? I'm not saying take everybody's guns and stop that, the extreme back and forth. Some damn common sense, common dignity.
Damn common sense.
Freedom to walk the damn streets without being fearful.
That's two dams.
Kids, literally, kids being traumatized over and over again because of these damn drills.
That's three.
At school for shooters, and we're not dealing with the damn issue.
Four.
So that needs to be addressed. I know everybody says, well, it's this incident. Well, you know, solve for the pattern. Solve for the damn pattern.
That's six.
It's not every incident. It's a pattern over and over and over again. And they're cowering, every single damn one of them. You see some of those folks on the...
What are we, at seven? I'm losing count.
The news this weekend. We'll just need more... I mean, it's comical. It's nonsense. They're wholly owned subsidiaries of these interest groups. It's a disgrace. Only in America. And we're better than that. We're supposed to be leading the world, not just responding to these mass crises and expressing damn prayers and...
That's eight.
Condolences over and over and over again. I said this how many times? I've done so many of these... Reason I haven't done all the damn press conferences yesterday, I was here.
That's 10, and now he's telling the news reporters with the cameras in his face why he won't do the press conferences. Gavin Newsom, you are making this horrific incident about you.
Reason I haven't done all the damn press conferences yesterday, I was here the whole day, is I can't do those again. I can't keep doing them. Say-
this is too serious of a story, so I'm not going to do it, but that's a Peter Brady moment.
I can't keep doing them. Say the same thing. Over and over again. I mean, it's insane.
Oh, we get the indignant laugh, too. But you can't really be like, well, I'm just can't do these press conferences anymore. And then stick your face in front of every camera and microphone there from the national outlets. But Gavin Newsom wants to tout how successful our very strict gun laws are here in California. but has got to understand, okay, you've got the laws. If the laws are not being enforced, if your attorney general is not confiscating the guns from the people that we know are not supposed to have them, if illegal guns and ghost guns are in the state and you're not doing anything about it, well, things need to happen. You can't just have the law. You got to enforce the law. We've got gun enhancements on the books, and we got a district attorney down here that didn't want to do anything about it.
We got some Wallinese allies.
So I'm here trying to feed my responsibility and soul at the same time, but this whole America is in real peril unless we fundamentally address these issues, and we know how to do it. California's led the way. We lead.
But these just happened here. How are we leading the way?
We lead the nation.
The guy in Hemet in the trailer park was putting silencers together and all this ammunition and a clip he wasn't supposed to have.
We know gun safety saves lives, period, full stop. Doesn't save every life.
Do you have to do your Gavinisms even when you're trying to make a serious point, Gavin? Period, full stop.
Doesn't save every life. We're not solving for every incident. I get that. We're humbled by it. But no state is outperformed. And you see that. The data bears that out. We got serious about these things and led the nation on assault weapons bans, large capacity magazine clips, background checks on...
Yeah, they're already banned. So what exactly are you calling for?
Background checks on ammunition, waiting periods, and red flag laws. It's saving lives. But the federal government hasn't done it. And they need to get it done. In the absence of that, states need to do it.
The local government hasn't really done it either. We have convicted...
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Felons that are caught with guns, like the one who murdered two police officers, and when they were caught with a gun, George Gascon said, oh, that's fine, slap him on the wrist, and that guy was free to commit horrific crimes. So, yeah, maybe we've got the laws on the books and we should enforce them.
But how did he get a gun that's illegal in the state of California?
Exactly, we'll figure it out. That's going to happen.
We'll figure it out. That's a very important question. You're touting how effective these laws are, yet this guy, a 72-year-old man in a trailer park in Hemet, was able to get his hands on what almost looked like an Uzi that they turned the pistol into. But, you know, we'll look into how he got it. Doesn't matter that it's already illegal.
But how did he get a gun that's illegal in the state of California?
Exactly. We'll figure it out. That's going to happen. There's never been, you got to enforce laws. Things fall through the cracks. We're the size of 21 state populations combined. I mean, this is the fourth largest economy in the world.
Don't need to tout that.
Things happen every single day. You give up. Doesn't mean you don't have rules and regulations. It doesn't mean we're not vigilant. I mean, look at all the number of people that have been rejected under our red flags laws. I mean, we had 1,284 just last year. It's about a 15x increase just compared to a few years ago. We're just winding these things up. All the background checks in this country, how many lives were saved because of those background checks? And we tend to focus on these devastating exceptions. Why don't we focus on what's actually working and build off that? Obviously, gun safety is working. In this case, we fell short, and we need to take a moment to reflect on what happened. But we also need to know the facts. Seek first to understand before you're understood. And politicians are so prone, I get it, because everybody wants to know all the motivation and all the facts. They're being collected. We're just 48 hours into this tragic incident.
And then for some reason, Gavin Newsom decided to go on a tangent and blame Fox News for everything.
We have work to do.
Just as a reminder, less than 1% of this entire country watches Fox News. Less than 1%. I bet you could argue in the state of California, it's even less than that. They do not have the influence that Gavin Newsom believes that they do. But because he watches it every single night, even in a story that has nothing to do with Fox News, he's going to bring Fox News into it. He knows more about their primetime lineup than I do, because I don't even know what channel Fox News is on.
We have work to do.
Not wasting my time with that riffraff.
We have work to do. I recognize that. We've seen gun purchases go through the roof in the last few years as people become more fearful. I mean, they're full networks that do nothing else but sell fear. That's all they do. They sell fear about immigration. They sell fear about crime.
and yet they sell calm about.
Well, most crime stories actually come from the local news, and they're just reporting on what happened.
And yet they sell calm about climate change. Yeah.
You could hear the indignant laughs.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at ourselves and let's look at some of these outlets and
look at
the culpability. You know, come on, Fox is a disgrace, the what they do. You know? And I know exactly what that means. That clip gets played, and then I have 22 new clips trying to attack me to shut me up, and it's a warning to every other politician.
The guy's got to stop watching Fox every night. You keep talking about you got four kids. Why don't you spend time with them instead of watching to see if you get mentioned on Fox News?
That won't call out their primetime lineup. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace what they say, what these people say every single night. Their xenophobia, their racial priming, what they have done to perpetuate crime and violence in this country by scapegoating and by doing not a damn thing about gun safety.
There's another dam. Two dams.
And by doing not a damn thing about gun safety. Not a damn thing for decades. It's not the right time. Not the right time. Not the right time. Rinse, repeat. Not the right time. Rinse, repeat. Sandy Hook. Not the right time. Rinse, repeat. Uvalde. Remember Uvalde? You remember? Rinse, repeat. You don't remember the borderline here, 13 people. That was a few years ago. We'll have to look that one up. Rinse, repeat. Not a damn thing they do. And we know it. And we allow them to get away with that. So, yeah, no. I got to sleep at night. I got four kids. I'm the future.
Please stop watching Fox News and spend time with your four children.
I'm the future ex-governor. I know everybody tried to make that sooner. The same group tried to recall me. Same gun back groups. Try it again. Don't give it up.
He brings up the recall now. Once again, Gavin Newsom in the heart of an incredibly horrific tragedy, something that, you know, we're still trying to get all the facts of. You know, they're still trying to figure out the motive, although it doesn't really matter. This man was insane. Even with all of California's strict gun laws, he was able to get that clip extender. He was able to go in there and do the damage that he did. It's a horrific, awful, awful thing. And yeah, we could talk about better steps, but now all of a sudden you have made this about you, the way you're covered on Fox News, and the fact that you got recalled. The guy has got a chip on his shoulder. Now it's time for the money shot, right? He was interviewed by Norah O'Donnell on CBS News as they're walking up and down the streets in Monterey Park, and he gets a little pushback on his rhetoric. And what's interesting about Gavin Newsom is he's not used to that. He doesn't really get that from a lot of outlets. He doesn't talk to a lot of local outlets. I'd say the only one who goes on with any regularity that will give him some pushback is Alex Michelson. But listen to Gavin Newsom's rhetoric here and how quickly it gets shut down by Norah O'Donnell of CBS News.
It's always a weapon of mass destruction, isn't it? I mean, I get it. We can talk about the anomalous nature of this, and it certainly is.
There's his $5 word for the week, anomalous.
But what is also anomalous is the fact that there's a pattern here in the United States of America of these mass shootings that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world, just free will. And maybe that should be the fundamental focus. Large capacity clips, just insane. There's no justification, period, full stop. It's insane. These people are perpetuating lunacy and should be ashamed of themselves.
But when you said the Second Amendment is a suicide pact,
feels like it increasingly.
But there's many people in this country that support the Second Amendment.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom, the clip heard around the world is he called the Second Amendment a suicide pact. And as soon as he gets questioned on it, well, he folds like the way I like to eat a big slice of pizza.
But when you said the Second Amendment is a suicide pact,
feels like it increasingly.
But there's many people in this country that support the Second Amendment and are lawful gun owners.
Yeah, I have great respect. I have no ideological opposition to someone reasonably and responsibly owning firearms and getting background checks and being trained and making sure they're locked so their kid doesn't accidentally shoot themselves or a loved one. Absolutely not. Never suggested that. That's what they immediately do. Who wants to take away your guns? I just want to take away weapons of war that are illegal on the streets of California.
Then how did you not take away that one?
On the streets of California, it should be illegal across the United States. I mean, just literally use common sense.
So that's a little bit of what Gavin Newsom had to say at the site of the horrific mass shooting in Monterey Park, where he said he wasn't going to do any press conferences, but instead spent all his time talking to the cameras and making this story about him. when it's not about him. It's the John Phillips Show. It's Randy Wang here on KBC.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is that, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.